But I got to address, a couple things, Mariam Tazi. Let people know where the podcast stands.
I'm scared.
So give me a second. I'll boot up.
You know what? I'm not leaving. I'm not fucking leaving! The show goes on! This is my home! They're gonna need a fucking wrecking ball to take me out of here! They're gonna need to send in the National Guard or fucking SWAT team, cause I ain't going nowhere!
Yeah. What'd you think was going to happen, Mariam Tazi?
Things.
That motherfuckers thought you was getting rid of me. Yeah, baby. Mariam's worried, people.
A little bit.
Mariam Tazi in the house was a little concerned that the show wouldn't go on.
I did pace a little bit.
Pace?
More than pace. Loose sleep.
The nerves got the best of you, Mariam.
It happens. That's why I'm drinking tea.
Drinking tea calms the nerves, people.
Sometimes.
But no worries. Yeah. Like that, don't you?
I mean, yeah.
My man Brandon Alter shaking his head at me the whole time. Huh?
Sup.
That's right. Brandon Alter, a.k.a. Balter in the house. I had to bring you in. You wanted to know why I brought you in, because you were instrumental to starting this thing. And there's been some back and forth. I know I've been tossing and turning, trying to figure out which direction I want to go with the podcast. And I think my intro sums it up. What do you want me to say? What do you want me to do? Looking at me. Why are you guys looking at me like that? Get it together.
I'm not saying anything until you say whatever.
Mariam Tazi, she's...
I still don't know where this is going.
I'm telling you where it's going. It's not going anywhere. Mm. The show's going to go on. That's what's up. We're here.
Good decision.
It is a great decision. It's a good decision. You know, I've been tossing and turning. What happened is, people, and thank you guys for tuning in. Another episode of American Riddle. We're back on the mic doing what we does. You know how I do it, people. Back in black. That's right. All ins. We're going to win. Check it out. Here we go again. That's right. It's Chuck D.
Okay.
Chuck D. What am I quoting?
I don't know what you're talking about.
Yeah, no thanks, man. That's why I'm here. I'm here to educate you people.
That's cool. Now I know.
You know, through thick and thin, through the good, the bad, and the ugly. Yeah. So, on that note, yeah, I've been going through some tough times on a personal level and financially, and just I've been just overwhelmed. I mean, it's been snowballing for some time, and you know, when I started this podcast, one of the things I said to the audience was I was going to be very open, you know, as open as I can. You know, there's certain things I can't go into sometimes, you know, when it comes to certain work related items. But outside of that, you know, you're gonna get. I keeps it 100. I keeps it 100. I keeps it real. Mm-hmm. So how do I do it, Mariam? Mariam's nervous over here, people. People, I'm telling you, this is why we got to go on Ustream, so you can see her squirm.
I always squirm on the mic, though. I'm still not used to being on
I'm
the mic.
Telling you.
What was that Bernie Mac baseball movie? What did they call that? Mr. 500 or
something? 1,000 or something.
That's you, man. Mm. Yeah, that's you. Yeah.
But, no, I've been, I've had a hard time with work and juggling jobs and finances, and I've got a lot of mounting issues on my back, a lot of legal issues too. None of it concerns the podcast. I got a very nice email from a listener. and she was wondering if some of you know, some of the back and forth that I've been doing on social media, saying I'm not sure which direction the podcast is going to go into, you know, if it's going to continue or not. These are just thoughts that everyone has in life. Sometimes you have them with your work, your family, your friends, relationships that you're in. You just sometimes you really don't know which way is up.
You waver. You waver a little bit, you know.
So I've been having some problems, and I'm going to continue to have problems, but I'm not going to give up on my commitment to the podcast, to you guys, Miriam and Brandon and Pete, our core audience. Not like we have thousands or whatever like that, but there are a good group of people that have been checking in, sending me text messages, calling, and sending emails. And for that, I'm appreciative. And I'm like I said, I'm committed. And I've been, and I think after, you know, after doing it for a year now, you know, like I said, what are you going to do? The show's got to go on, you know, because it's evolving. And I think that anyone that's paid attention and that's listened, and you guys have heard me on this podcast, out of breath, you heard me on this
breathe away from the mic.
On this podcast, we've all seen it evolve, and it's fun, you know, we're thinking, we're trying to, you know, do things a little bit different, but just have fun with it and roll with it and see what happens. And that's my commitment. You know, I was thinking, you know, sometimes when I'm tripping and I'm just like in my own head, and like I said, everyone's been there. When you get in your own head, you can't stay there too long, especially my head, because it moves at a super fast speed. And it just starts racing. And then I start thinking about what's important. I think about people that I surround myself with, the people that count. And I think about what they think. Like I, when I talked to Miriam, I think Miriam, you sent me a text saying, oh, so that's it. No more podcast or something like that. And,
yeah, very stern.
Yeah. She wasn't. She didn't seem to, when you know, it's fucked up when you can feel that someone's upset. Yeah. Yeah. Tone in text.
I wouldn't even acknowledge it. I just kept pitching you ideas.
Yeah. Yeah. You did, yeah.
Denial.
But see, that's
that's how I dealt with it.
Yeah, but that's important, and that's important to me because that gets me through the day. You know, I'll brush it off, or I'll see right through you at the time, and that's just how I'm built. You know, at the end of the day, you know, when I reflect on things, I don't want to let anyone down, and I don't want to let you know. I definitely want to let myself down.
Well, that's the thing. It was more about you for yourself. It's not about, as other people, I think this was also very therapeutic for you and good for you in a way. You know? So I think it's giving up on something that would be something that you would actually regret in the long run.
I regret a lot of things.
Right, but I think this is something that's really positive.
And everything that I'm going through right now, people, don't get it twisted. It's stuff that I brought on myself. You know, financial issues. I've got tax issues, you know, job issues, and I don't make enough money. You know, it's the same song and dance. My story is no different than anyone else out there in the struggle. But, you know, at the same time, I need to take a look at myself and say, you know, how did I get myself into this? I didn't get myself into it because of a relationship I was in, which is easy to point the finger at something like that, or this job didn't hire me, or that job, or this boss did that. It's easy to do these things.
You can't blame it on the hot mamas.
At the end of the day, yeah.
That's what I call it.
At the end of the day, you can't, and I can't, because I know I'm solely responsible, and I have to take responsibility, and I have not been, and I've reached out to a few people that that's close to me, and I started off with an email telling them that I haven't been honest in over a decade, and I haven't been, you know, honest with them. If somebody asks me if I'm okay, you know, I'll say, yeah, I'm okay. But the truth is, I haven't been okay. I haven't been okay for quite some time. And, you know, when you wear that mask, you know, it comes back to haunt you. When you do something you don't want to do, or you're in a position you want to do, or you're making excuses why you're not doing something, it comes back, you know, and it's over a decade for me. And again, I can point the finger at, you know, oh, I hate cold weather. You guys have heard me bitch and complain about everything under the sun. But it begins and ends with me. And if I'm going to make that change, then I need to be as transparent as I can with everyone around me that, you know, that I respect and admire and I love. it's not an easy thing to, it seems easy to say, but it's not easy to swallow because you're looking at yourself. You're looking dead in the mirror and you're exposing yourself. Like you can say, oh yeah, you know, you're exposing yourself by putting your thoughts and your passion and stuff like that on the internet or on a podcast or whatever. You know, but you can still tippy toe. You can bojangle around that, like that bojangle. Look at her, Miriam. She likes that word.
I do.
Yeah, the listener, one of the listeners, Casey, who emailed me. She used the word bojangle in the letter she wrote. So thank That's you great. For that heartfelt letter, Casey. I really appreciate you tuning in. Said she listened through episodes 43 through 59.
Wow,
59.
Good job, Casey. You made it.
Yeah. No, that's commitment. And, you know.
Yeah, yeah. Props.
Yeah. Thanks.
You don't want
to. What does Bojangles mean? I know Bo Diddle, like the Buddy Holly song. Yeah.
That's a new one for me, too. I don't know that one. Bo Diddle. There's so many. Well, you many can't be diddling. These. Is that the same as Bojangles?
No. I don't know.
What's the
I'm not
Bojangling.
Sure.
Mr. Bojangles.
Diddling sounds dirty now. Wait a minute.
Yeah, I'm sorry. Well, Bojangles was a dancer. So when you dance around a subject, when you dance around something, you're jangling.
Cool.
But
that's a good word.
To stay on subject, yes. This is an important State of the Union. You know what I mean? There comes a time and a place when a person has to. You got to own up to your responsibilities in life. And if you're going to progress, if you're going to move forward, you have to be responsible for your past and present and future actions. And it's so easy for you to get. You know, I'm a lot older now, it's bizarre because. Some of the things that I did 10 years ago, I blinked and it was 3 to 5 years pass. And then you blink again and 10 years pass. And then you blink again and 15 years pass. And then you look back and you have a mountain of issues or you have a mountain of things that you weren't open and honest about. And it's not a productive or healthy way to lead your life, especially when you have people that rely on you or people that believe in you. And when you have people that believe in you, this is where it really hurts. They look at you in a certain way, and they say things about you, nice things, compliment you, but you feel like you're living a lie. You know what I mean? You feel like, you feel like the clown? It's like laughing on the outside and crying on the inside.
It's like in that Puccini.
Yeah. And again, I'm not saying this. I'm not saying this for people to feel, you know, be pity or feel sorry, but I have to be as honest as possible. If I'm going to do something, if I'm going to commit to something, if I'm going to say, hey, if I'm going to tell people to listen to their gut, even if it's 12 people, one person, if it's you, Brandon or Miriam or my son or someone, if I could tell people to chase their dreams and listen to their guts, you know what I mean? If I haven't been doing it myself, I mean, it's just hypocritical, I think. You know what I mean? And there's a cost to that. You know, when I left a few jobs, you know, over the past couple of years and committed to creating something, following a passion, following a dream, there's a cost to that financially. These are responsibilities that you don't have to run away from them or ditch them, but at the same time, you need to acknowledge them and find a way to meet those responsibilities. And for years, I've always put hopes and dreams in other people's hands, you know, like take for instance, like the wine business, because right now I'm bojangling, I'm tap dancing around the subject. But take for instance the wine business. Within the wine business, I always surrounded myself with a lot of people, and still do in a lot of ways, and it frustrates the hell out of me. But I surrounded myself with a lot of people that it was making them more money. It was taking care of their needs, and I was sacrificing myself and my time and my abilities. For the greater, for them. But I would believe that there was going to be something for me at the end of the day. And I didn't protect myself. You know, I didn't follow through, and I didn't protect myself for my, you know, better advancement and my ultimate investment, which is me, which I've said 1,000 times on this podcast, to invest in yourself and invest in yourself. And finally, I got to a breaking point. I think Mary and I may have had one of our offline conversations about it. And you said, you know, invest in yourself. Don't you always say that? And I'm like, shit, fuck. I say it, but I don't apply it to myself. And it makes me feel like a hypocrite. And within that, I started to implode over the past, I don't know, past couple few months. But you know, with and then you know, just with the you know, going into 2014, yes, last year very successful on a creative level, but at the same time, if you have responsibilities, whatever they are, it could be.
We all do.
Could be work. Could be, you know, a relationship you're in, a marriage. It could be, you know, your children. It can be, you know, your bills, your taxes, whatever it is. You have to honor those and meet those and handle those because, you know, you made that decision, you know, to commit to being in that or having that in your circle, in your life in some way, shape, or form. No one forces you to go to a dead end or a job you hate. No one forces you to be in a relationship that you don't want to be in. No one, you know, forces you know, to do anything except yourself. You make that decision. Then you find reasons to kind of point the finger. And, you know, it seems...
Definitely need people, more people taking responsibility.
Yeah. Well, yourself.
Accountability, responsibility.
At this point, I'm not looking for anyone else, but the best people I can surround myself with. And I look at that with... you know, where I work a lot of times, sometimes I'm not there mentally and sometimes I'm all over the place because I have so many thoughts, so many things on my mind. But that's not even an excuse because I need to be focused. I need to be in the present because there's a lot of things that I learn. Like, you may not know this, but I feed off that energy. When I see you, Brandon, you know, when I see you and I see other people doing things and creating things, even if it's just a conversation in passing, that gives me energy to want to be a part of not just that conversation, but to explore what you guys are doing, what avenues you guys are taking to create your path. So, you know, as you can see, like a lot of shit's been going on in my head, and you know, mainly it's just looking in the mirror, looking at myself, and admitting that I've made a lot of mistakes and bad choices, but moving forward. It would be wrong for me to continue down that path. That would be the sin to continue to acknowledge, to know that you did something wrong and say, hey, I'm going to keep doing that. You know what I mean? So I put the brakes on everything over the past few weeks. And some of it wasn't even my choice. You know what I mean? But sometimes you get a letter in the mail saying you owe X amount of dollars or you're getting a lien or something like that. It wakes you up and you're like, all right, you know what I mean? Maybe the big job in California is not going to come right now. Or someone's not going to drop or invest in me to open up a wine distribution center right now. And just stop, get your heads out of your ass and out of the clouds and focus on what's in front of you. Because the sooner that I'm able to clear my path, I'm able to move forward. You know what I mean? And it's hard. It's hard for me to admit that because you get caught up in your own ego. You get caught up in your own self and thinking that you can overcome something. But not until you handle your priorities, mine specifically, until I handle mine, you know, it would make even doing a podcast difficult. You know, I woke up plenty of times. I just don't feel funny. Don't feel like talking. Don't feel like creating. And that's suffocating. I don't know if you've ever felt that way.
Yeah, where you feel like you require some sort of catharsis, but you just don't have the outlet for it. Mm. Or like you have the outlet, and it's just no way you can actually approach it.
And you can't blame anyone for it. You can't, but you can only look at yourself. You can only look at yourself and say, you know, what? You know, how did I do this to myself? But, you know, there's not always going to be an answer. I can answer any questions I have for myself. But at the same time, you can only spend so much time in that rearview mirror, because if you spend too much time looking in the past in that rearview mirror, you're not going to be looking at the dash. You're not going to be looking out the windshield and navigating where you need to go and where you need to be. It's my belief that this will all come together. It will work out somehow. I mean, there are times, you know, what I'm faced with right now. Yeah. I mean, if people have jumped out of windows, people have jumped out of skyscrapers, but at the same time, I've noticed, something that I've overlooked and I've got a good core of people around me, like family and friends that are supportive, that are willing to help. There are people that follow me on social media that want me to succeed. A lot of times, you know, I'm famous for isolating myself and, turning everything off and submerging myself in guilt or shame or, you know, just negative thoughts, you know?
Yeah. It's easy to do that.
Yeah. But it's
also easy to forget that you do have support.
Yeah. And that's another thing. I set up and
recognize it.
I was thinking, I was like, wow, there are so many people that really believe. It could be something as a little short film that I produced, or the podcast that we put down, and or just anything, and they're just, you know, in awe of it, and that I think that means something. It says something, even if it doesn't take off and you don't get millions or anything like that, because that's not the point. That never has been the driving force, but you have to recognize there are people out there that at the end of the day they give a shit, they care about you. And they care about your well-being. And if they don't know that you're hurting, if they ask you, are you okay? How's the job going? And every year I say, it's okay. I've got some stuff going. I've got, you know, 6 months. I've got this in July or
and
something.
They think you're okay.
They think you're okay, yeah. Yeah. And over the past, I don't know, week or two, that I've even, it could be something as simple as a picture that I may post or tweet. People have reached out and sent tweets or sent emails. Or some have even picked up the phone to see what they can do to help. I had a friend of mine last night, took me out to dinner. My son and I took me out to dinner and, you know, offered his help, him and his wife and his family. And, yeah, really nice. I mean, it makes you think that it makes you believe, should I say, that at the end of the day, take a deep breath, get through the day, and tomorrow's a new day. You know, you can make it. You know, you can't do this alone. You can get yourself in the shit alone.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. The real safety net is friends and family. Like, that's the real shit that you have, you know, keeping you afloat.
It really is.
It's true.
It's not the government.
Yeah. And you know, no.
It's not the government.
No. Well, it's, you know, yeah. It's eye opening. It's humbling. And even when I posted, I wasn't sure. And for those of you guys listening, I posted something on my private Facebook account saying the American Riddle podcast may end. You know, and even still, I was like, it may end. But, you know, it was one of those moments where I know the road ahead is going to be tough. And there's going to be tougher days. I may not be able to produce an episode every week. I'm going through a lot of changes and going through a lot of paperwork just to get things where they should be, and assume responsibility. Even now, you can probably hear in my voice that it's tough to admit when you've been wrong for so long. You know what I mean? When you've been wrong and I know the best thing to do is the course of action that I'm taking by acknowledging it. And being transparent with everyone, and not being afraid to ask for help. And I don't mean that in a monetary way. Sometimes you just need someone else's knowledge or someone else to say, hey, have you thought about this?
Yeah.
Have you looked at every option? Because a lot of the things I've been critical on about myself over the past, I don't know, in the past five, easily, well, I can go back 10, 15 years, but one of the things I've listened to myself say is that I didn't factor that into the equation, or I didn't calculate that part of it. And this is why you need other people around listening to you, because they'll hold you accountable. They'll say, did you think of this? Are you thinking about this? Have you looked at this option? We need that, I think. You know?
Yeah.
We need it. I need it. That's for sure. Because, again, I lose sight, and I've lost sight of what's the things that are good, like the friends and family, like my son. I mean, my God, man, he's 12 now, and like I don't enjoy the time that I spend with him. It seems like a task. It seems like something that I'm. It's not enjoyable, you know, because I'm always rushed. I'm driving, you know, 1 hour there, another hour back, and you know, I don't enjoy it like I used to. That's why I when he went out with us last night, I wanted him to be a part of the conversation because we talked about finances. We talked about the situation that I'm facing. We talked about my buddy John. He talked about, you know, how he went through the exact same thing. But I wanted my son to be there just because I want him to listen to it, to understand it. You know what I mean? And also to be aware so he doesn't have to, you know, suffer the same, you know, obstacles. You know, when I even just go into a simple basketball game for him, you know, sometimes I'll stress about, you know, just crazy shit. Could be gas money or could be anything. Just simple little things that you take for that you've taken for granted for so much time. And even still, I think I shouldn't focus on that, but I do. And he knows, but you know, children know. They can read right through it.
Yeah.
You know,
very, I mean, empathetic, so like they can just feel it off.
Yeah, I mean, I had a buddy of mine. You know him, Greg Gilmore.
Yeah,
he gentleman I work with. He gave me some tickets to a hockey game recently, and I covered a shift for him, and so he gave me these tickets, and my son and I went. God, you know, you go to these hockey games. They're expensive. Fun. They're fun, but it's expensive to go. So I'm thinking, oh, you know what I mean? Fuck. How am I going to enjoy myself? You know, everything costs. Of course, we smuggled in contraband. We had candy.
We got expensive hockey out here, though. Yeah,
but we're sitting there, and like, you know, we smuggled in some candy and stuff like that. No big deal. We do it in the movies. You know, we'll bring a bucket of chicken to the movies or something like that.
Where are you putting that?
We find a way. Right. I line them up. Duct tape.
You have a gym bag. You're like, I just got back from working out. This is my gym bag full of chicken. It smells like fried chicken.
You remember the first time on one of our podcasts?
I do remember that. I had at the theater, yeah.
So now I line the inside. Usually I line my son up a little bit more than me. Like, yeah. I make sure he's lined up.
Well, yeah. They're not.
And right before we get to him, I always say, I'm gonna rat you out. And he panics. He always panics.
Yeah.
I'm like, you better check him out. I hear something shaking in his pocket. But anyway, we're sitting in there. You know, I know he can see that I'm stressing a lot of times. I'm like, you want something? You want a drink? You want some popcorn? You want this and that? And he's like, no. You know what I mean? I know, you know, he can sense it because he's my son. He's known me for so many years.
His whole life.
Yeah, yeah. So he's seen me, you know.
that's a while, yeah.
He's seen me through good and bad and whatever. But, yeah, he's very kind, very polite.
Sweetheart.
You know, you're like, no. Just like last night, you know, we went to Clyde's, you know, for any bill collectors listening, my friend paid for the meal. So, that being said, even the beginning of the podcast, just let me just say this, that was Leonardo DiCaprio saying "fuck you," and it wasn't intended to any bill collectors or
it's the best movie ever,
the
made,
IRS or anything Malcolm, like that. Yeah. When I say "fuck you," when Leonardo says "fuck you" in the beginning, I'm saying fuck you to the mind state, my mind state. That's what that meant, and that was a symbolism for that clip. So let me just make that clear.
You're going to put any Scarface clips on next? Or?
Well, I'll explain more in the clips later, but the hockey game, and then last night we went out to eat, and I was like, what do you want to drink? You want something? He's like, oh, maybe a lemonade. And he doesn't really sound like that.
Sounds a little more like me than your son, I think.
It's but weird. there was another drink. I was like, really? I was like, there's a chocolate peanut butter shake on the menu. And he's like, He's like, I was like, you want that? He was like, it's okay. You know what I mean? And I was like, yeah, it's okay. He's paying for it. So get whatever you want, kid. You know what I mean? It's a nice chocolate shake, man. It's like $10 or something.
That's Clyde's. Yeah, that is Clyde's.
Yeah. But, and even recently, we were at a basketball game. He was in a playoff basketball game. And it was for the championships. And so I drove out to watch him play. And he's playing. And it's down to the wire. I mean, they're running up and down. And my guy is, you know, he's a big guy. He's husky, as they say. Husky guy. You know what I mean? So he's running up and down, and the coach plays him because he's like Charles Barkley. You know what I mean? Barkley back in the day. Yeah, I know. It's a dated reference.
It's a good one.
But Brandon made a face, everybody. my dated sports references.
No, it's just, you know, why don't you, you know, give him like a Shaquille O'Neal or something.
Yeah, okay, okay, we can say that. But Barkley was just devastating. So he's running up. He's playing D. He's manning up, and he's running. He's sweating bullets the whole game. And they played him three straight quarters. So it's like in the third quarter, they're up, you know, every time they're up by one or two. And they're running the hole, and he's going up and down, and it's an intense game. You know, he's a 12-year-old, but I started getting into it, you know, and I'm watching
it's
him.
Championship.
And, it's a big deal. And I'm watching him, And as he's running down the court at one time, he takes a second, and it's a very intense play, right? Just you think about it. You're in the championship game. He's running down the court, and as he's running down the court, he looks over at me and makes a face, you know, as this, you know, make a funny face, because we do that a lot of times in the car. We look at vines, and as we were coming to the game that day, we were looking at a vine, and he made the exact same face as the vine in question.
Did you make a vine of that face?
It's a vine that it's a funny guy. I don't know if I have it, but my point is he stopped the game for just a second and looked over at his pops just to say, like, you know, a little tip of the hat. You know what I mean? A little tip of the hat. And it was that moment. It was one of those moments where I just sat back and, yeah, almost had a tear come to my eye.
Really sweet.
Just because, you know, I mean, who does that for one? You know what I mean?
Your son.
Like, why would your mind be there
at
that time when pretty much everything – that's going on is on the line, and he just, while he's in motion running, just looks over and just
this one's for you, Pop.
Yeah.
Then he jammed on that dude. What did he play, a center?
It was a nice moment. So I those are the ones that I've got to focus and cherish and you know, kind of get me through the day. But yeah, that was fun. But, yeah, everything, what I posted earlier when I opened the show with Leonardo DiCaprio from The Wolf of Wall Street, to get back on that subject, you know, that's something that I usually, you know, whenever we're challenged, I think you may have a song that inspires you. Everyone does some song or movie or something that motivates you.
Yeah, yeah.
So that clip motivates me just for the fact that not so much because there was a lot of backlash on the movie. I know people loved it. People hated it.
It's divisive.
But it's the point where may have said this on a podcast. I know I've said it to Miriam offline. A lot of times I inject myself within the movie. I become part of that movie, part of that script, part of that feature. And it becomes part of me. So within that scene, I'm thinking about what's going on in my head. And that's why I played that one, because it meant at the time and still does. And I watch this clip every day. When I wake up, I watch that clip. Because I'm not going anywhere. Like, I can get so depressed, and depression runs in my family. And that's a whole nother podcast. But depression can cloak you like a soaked wet blanket where you won't move. You don't move. You know what I mean? You're just kind of stuck. You know, if you've ever had anything wet on you.
It's heavy.
It's heavy.
It drags you down.
And you don't move. Yeah, you're there. You know what I mean? There are times when I'm at work and I have that in me. That's in my DNA, my genes, where I can be in a depressed state and, you know, I'm not there. I'm just having an episode. I don't take medication or anything like that because, of course, I feel like I can handle things. But I have different outlets, how I personally handle things. But when I have those moments, sometimes I need just, you know, a minute, 44-second clip to motivate me, to move me in a special way. And you know, when I think about that clip with Leonardo DiCaprio saying he's not going anywhere, you know, I mean, he's challenging the authority. In my case, that authority and what he's challenging is myself. I'm challenging myself. I'm not going anywhere. Meaning I am, I'm going to be committed. I'm going to be committed to everything. I'm going to be committed to my personal finances. I'm going to be committed to whatever job I'm in at that moment. I'm going to be committed to my friends and my family. And no matter how much I bitch, complain, and moan, and I'm sure you guys have heard it, I'm not going to jump off a bridge or disappear or ride off into the sunset. So that's why I played that clip. It's a good clip. This is another one. I'm going to play this one. I wasn't going to, but I'm going to play it anyway. Because this one is another clip from the same movie. And
The Aviator, right? That's what we're talking about.
No.
Okay.
No. It's also from The Wolf of Wall Street. But this one also, for me, it gets me going. Just because in this clip, Leonardo DiCaprio, he's talking about going out there and having the balls to make something out of yourself. You know what I mean? And you'll see when he goes through this speech, I'm putting myself in this clip, but I'm directing it to myself. And when he talks about the clients, well, my clients are you guys. I'm the brand, okay? Well, of course, American Riddle, we are the brand, but at the same time, I'm the brand and I'm here to create something. Of course, I've always said that I create things for myself, but at the end of the day, when I show it, when I say, hey, listen to this, look at this, you know, just like anyone else, yes, I'm looking for approval, but at the same time, I want to make you laugh. I want to make you think. You know, I want to get
reactions.
Whatever emotion I can get from you. It could be all of the emotions. It could be fear, hatred. It could be, you know, you could cry. You could whatever.
Yeah. Anything but indifference is what you want.
In the form of entertainment, that's what I want to do. So in this clip, of course, he's talking about selling stocks, but at the same time, you know, my stock is different. It's, you know, my brand is different, but it applies to me. So let's listen to what gets me going, because I listen to it at least 3 times a day. Oops, let me stop that.
They're not going to dial themselves, okay? Without you, they're just worthless hunks of plastic. Like a loaded M16 without a trained Marine to pull the trigger. And in the case of the telephone, it's up to each and every one of you, my highly trained Stratonites, my killers who will not take no for an answer, my fucking warriors, who will not hang up the phone until their client either buys or fucking die! Let me tell you something. There is no nobility in poverty. I have been a rich man and I have been a poor man, and I choose rich every fucking time. Because at least as a rich man, when I have to face my problems, I show up in the back of a limo wearing a $2,000 suit and a $40,000 gold fucking watch. Hey, boys, duke it out. Hit him.
Get the fuck off of me. You
hit him. Now, if anyone here thinks I'm superficial or materialistic, go get a job at fucking McDonald's, because that's where you fucking belong. But before you depart this room full of winners, I want you to take a good look at the person next to you. Go on. Because sometime in the not-so-distant future, you're going to be pulling up to a red light, and you beat up old fucking Pino, and that person's going to be pulling up right alongside you in their brand-new Porsche with their beautiful wife by their side, who's got big, voluptuous tits. And who are you going to be sitting next to? Some disgusting wildebeest with 3 days of razor stubble and a sleeveless muumuu crammed in next to you and a carload full of groceries from the fucking Price Club. That's who you're going to be sitting next to. So you listen to me and you listen well. Are you behind on your credit card bills? Good. Pick up the phone and start dialing. Is your landlord ready to evict you? Good. Pick up the phone and start dialing. Does your girlfriend think you're a fucking worthless loser? Good. Pick up the phone and start dialing. I want you to deal with your problems by becoming rich. All you have to do today is pick up that phone and speak the words that I have taught you. And I will make you richer than the most powerful CEO in the United States of fucking America. I want you to go out there and I want you to ram Steve Madden's stock down your clients' throats till they fucking choke on it. Yeah. Till they choke on it and they buy 100,000 shares. That's what I want you to do. Yeah. You be ferocious. You be relentless. Yeah. You be telephone fucking terrorist. Yeah. Now let's knock this motherfucker out of the park.
Very toned down. Of course, Scorsese film. You know what I mean? Oof. Is that the scene where he finds out he's a cop?
Three times a day?
No. I listen to it at least three times. Now, keep in mind, too, when he says rich, I don't even think I strike anyone as the type of person that's money hungry. When I mean rich, how can I become rich? I can become rich and wealthy and rich with friends, with family, with knowledge. You know what I mean? Yeah. That's my interpretation of rich, with creativity, creating a product that you'll enjoy. So of course I twist that so it fits within my lifestyle.
Right. It might not be 100% what you know, DiCaprio might have meant. I don't know.
Well, no, poetry means something different to everyone. Yeah, everyone's interpretation, it's going to be different. Like, you know, I'd be foolish to think about limousines and $2,000 watches right now because there was a time when I used to wear watches and
limousines. They don't even make Quaaludes anymore. Quaaludes are illegal now.
And when I did stuff like that, that's what got me into the problems I'm in now. So it's like, you know, I'm not so much interested in that type of wealth. I've always said this, and I'm a believer of whatever product that you have, whatever you're selling, whatever you're making, through the labor, through what your passion, the fruits of that labor you'll be rewarded. And a lot of times on this planet, you're rewarded monetary in some gold, money, whatever currency is in existence. But that's not what I'm talking about. Here, I'm thinking, when you say rich, what do I want to be rich in? Right now, my priorities have shifted dramatically, and I'm here to face reality and say, you know, I want to be rich within a certain group of people, mainly myself. I want to be rich within myself, with knowledge, with wisdom, with executing the right plan to carry me and people around me into the future. So when you say that, when Leonardo states that, this is what I'm thinking. Of course, the energy level of how he says it, his delivery, that's what motivates me. I'm not motivated by a $2,000 suit or the gold watch. You know what I mean? I'm not really into jewelry, but. Limousine, maybe. I mean, I like a limousine.
The movie makes a really good point, honestly, about motivation can sometimes be like 80% of what you need to get something done. Yeah.
And if you're looking at yourself and you're not dealing with your problems, he says deal with your fucking problems. Because if you don't deal with it, yes, go work at McDonald's.
Get something to motivate you.
So long you can avoid stuff, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah.
If you can't wake up and, you know, want to, you know, get through the day, like there's something going on.
Yeah. And a pill or drugs or alcohol or even submerging yourself in your own pity is not the answer.
They call that a pity party.
Yeah, you have to have. I have heard that. Mm-hmm. You have to, have the guts and brains and you know, sometimes or a lot of times the people around you just say, get up off your ass, take care of this shit. You know what I mean? Face exactly what he just said. If you're behind on your credit card bills, if your girlfriend thinks you're a loser. If whatever the reason, good. Face it and go out there and do something about it. Pick up the fucking phone. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I've been in the game for a long time. You know what I mean? Quite some time. And what I mean by the game, just life itself. And I like to think that I'm well received in the public's eye. And so all I've been doing is picking up the phone, emailing, texting people, connecting with people, and, you know, trying to make it happen, trying to let people know, you know, what's going on, and you know, keep their eyes and ears open. But it's up to me to actually execute that. Like, I'm not looking for a handout. I'm not looking for anything like that. But it's no different than what he said. Pick up the fucking phone. It doesn't have to be a phone. It's just saying make a connection. Do something about it. Face your fucking problems and move forward. Now. Yeah. And things, you know, and then we read, how many times do we read in the paper where someone kills themselves, jumps off a bridge? Tony Scott, great director, did a header off a bridge. God knows what his problems were, but
he's an incredibly successful guy.
Were they that bad? Yeah. Could he have picked up the phone? Could he have acknowledged, you know, it's easy to get to that tipping point, and depression's a motherfucker. I mean, it
it doesn't just happen. He didn't just like wake up that day and say, I'm going to jump off a bridge. No. He was leading somewhere before. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. That's right. And that's how I felt, you know, more than once, not taking a header off a bridge, but, just where it's so suffocating that you think all is lost. Is it? Yes. You can have that thought. And yes, depression. And if you have chemical imbalances or anything like that, and it's untreated, or you haven't acknowledged that you have a problem.
Yeah.
And you, or
that's
problems.
Honestly, that's the hardest part, is to admit it in the first place.
Yeah.
You can't really go anywhere until you run can do from that. It.
Yeah. And and that's what I've been doing. And that's what I've been trying to do a lot of different things, man. I mean, trying to keep up with the Joneses as far as, trying to what I think was the right thing. I had a conversation with my uncle a few years ago, where I kind of ran into this issue, and you know, I spend a lot. When I made more money, I gave more money away, thinking it was the right thing to do as far as being a parent. You know, you throw money at a problem and you just throw it, instead of throwing money at yourself and investing in yourself and taking care of my own finances. I would just give money to my son's mother, and just give money to different things that were luxuries. Whether it's a private school or something like that, and not putting the blame on that. What I'm saying is I didn't prioritize, and I thought I was doing the noble thing. And my uncle said this to me. He said, he said exactly what DiCaprio said when he said there's no nobility in being poor, being broke. My uncle said, he didn't say it that way. He said, you think you're doing the noble thing, Malcolm. You know, he sat down with me, and he said, he goes, what you're doing is the right thing. You know, you're taking care of your family. You're taking care of your son. You're making sure his needs are met, but you're not taking care of yourself. You think you're being noble.
Right. Definitely.
You think you're doing the noble thing, but it's not the right thing to do.
There's no nobility in self-sacrifice.
And that's what I've been doing. And I'm the one to blame when it comes to that. It's, what's that noise? It's the blower. I forgot to turn it down.
I thought you were putting on another video.
No. No, but overall, it's the paths we take and the journey we experience, the journey we take.
Yeah, you know what makes people better off is when you're around to, you know, enjoy life with them, you know?
And just
that's how you stay normal.
And also to be around, you know, sometimes people do go through struggles, and sometimes someone like Brandon will be there to pick you up or tell a joke or make you smile for a minute and get you through the day.
That's pretty much all I got I can do for you.
But that's all it takes. Yeah. And that, you don't even know how much that means to me. You have no idea. You guys have no idea.
Thank
you,
man. I appreciate that.
When I say, you know, when I post something like that and you guys weigh in and say, oh yeah, I'm thinking about stopping the podcast. It's a thought that I have. Rarely will I post these days a personal, intimate thought. So when I do, people will chime in, and some of them online, some offline. I got a lot of offline responses, and you know, I thank you guys for that, everyone listening, because it does get me through today, and it has motivated me, and I believe in you guys that listen. I believe in you guys a lot, so much so that it fuels me when I don't believe in myself. So I'm only human, but like I said, between those two clips, the show's going on. No need to worry, Mariam Tazi.
I think Mariam, stop being so worried.
I think Mariam.
Jesus Christ! Right?
I think Mariam Tazi's gonna cry over here, people.
No, I'm not gonna
Holy
cry.
Holy poop! What's wrong with her?
So yeah, that's Wolf of Wall Street. Can you believe that? I got to thank Leonardo DiCaprio for getting me through the day. He's up for an Oscar this year.
Yeah. You think he'll get it, or do you think that dude with that hard name to pronounce?
Well, what do you
will
think?
Get it, from 12 Years a Slave.
I do want to address this.
I think Matthew McConaughey is gonna get it
from Dallas Buyers Club. Mm-hmm. Or, yeah.
Let's.
He got Christian Bale skinny. Is what he got.
I think that's why.
Yeah.
Any. Yeah.
Well, he stayed skinny in Wolf of Wall Street.
Goddamn! Here we go again. I said my piece, and they're going at it.
True Detective. Yeah.
You can jump in anytime, man.
Thank you.
All right.
I did want to segue into that. So enough about that, people. Okay, that was a long enough speech. I went 50 minutes in to doing the right thing. You know, you guys get the idea. So yeah, I wanted to segue into Oscar predictions. We got the Oscars coming up on Sunday.
Yeah.
Sunday fun day, isn't that what you guys call it?
I call it the Lord's Day, but you know, it's just me.
I don't call it fun day at all because Lord's night, usually work. Yeah. I work every Sunday. There's no fun on Sunday for me.
Sunday fun day,
but I might be fun off day. Right, I think before the Oscars, so I think I'll be good. I'll be able to watch them.
Hell yeah!
I think it's more towards sports when they say fun day or whatever. But in our case, because we're part of the artistic culture. We're talking about the Oscars. So, yeah, predictions. Let me pull up Oscar nominations 2014.
Do it.
Oops. The wrong one. All right.
Son of God. That's what I'm predicting.
So we have Best Picture. Up for Best Picture. We have American Hustle, Captain Phillips, Dallas Buyers Club, Gravity, Her, The Wolf of Wall Street, 12 Years a Slave. Mm-hmm. Something else I can't pronounce.
Philomena in Nebraska.
Mm. Oh, that's the Philomena's the one with the... British actor, I can't remember his name.
It's going to be the contenders is a three-way race to me. Wolf of Wall Street, Gravity, and...
12 years?
Everybody's saying 12 years a slave.
Yeah. 12 years. No, I guess it's a four-way, 12 years a slave and American Hustle.
Right, that's true.
Gravity is the wild card. It could surprise you.
That's true.
It could surprise you.
I agree. My vote is actually for Gravity, I think. I think of all the ones I saw in theaters... I liked a lot of films, but like Gravity, I left really happy with.
Yeah,
really. It hit a lot of notes for me.
I
just don't know if I can beat all the other. Those
it's
other
not
films.
Really a movie. It's more like a technical like feat, sort of like watching Avatar.
It was also the right amount of time.
Yeah,
as far as time limits.
It was very short.
The acting, the special effects, everything just kind of fell into place.
The script's probably 20 pages long.
The script wasn't really well written. It was really basic and simple, but enjoyable just because the casting was perfect. The casting was perfect.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, Clooney and Bullock, I mean, they're just fun to watch and look at. Well, it's the same thing, right? Watch and look at. I believe I'm going to say 12 Years a Slave is going to take it.
That's what I think you're right. Yeah. That's real Oscar bait. Not saying it's bad.
No, it was a great film. Yeah. I loved it. Loved it. And I think it will win. Best actor in a leading role, we have Christian Bale for American Hustle, Bruce Dern for Nebraska, Leonardo DiCaprio for The Wolf of Wall Street, Chiwetel Ejiofor for 12 Years a Slave, and the great...
That's not biased at all.
No.
Matthew,
say that for anybody else.
Great Matthew
McConaughey for Dallas Buyers Club.
Mudd, though, which I think was better.
And this is what I'm saying.
I haven't seen Mudd.
Yeah. Matthew McConaughey has been on a roll.
Yeah.
Okay, Mudd, he did something else. He's doing the show on HBO. True Detective.
He had that awesome scene, one of my favorite scenes in Wolf of Wall Street, the chest.
Oh, yeah, he's in Wolf of Wall Street for a minute.
You know that? I always want to do that. Every time I watch that,
your prediction?
I think Matthew's going to win.
That's yours? Okay, you're on record, Mary Matassi.
Well, I mean, can we say, what we want and what we actually think, maybe?
Yeah, yeah. Give me a two-part. Give you Oscar and you...
What I want is Christian Bale, because I think he blew it out of the fucking park with, what he did with the comb-over. Oh, my God. Everything about that character...
You like the comb-over, huh?
Hit every note. That movie wasn't the best, but, the acting in it was, I think, beyond anything else that was out there.
Okay.
But I think it's actually going to be, what's his name that I can never say? Yeah, from 12 Years a Slave.
Okay.
He had so many good nut lines. Yeah.
My prediction is going to be, yes, I'm going to follow suit. I want Leonardo DiCaprio to win. And the Oscar will probably lean towards Chiwetel Ejiofor, but... My final say in it, Leonardo DiCaprio wins for Best Oscar.
Really?
Yeah.
You think Leo's going to win?
I think Leo's going to win it. There's a lot of things at play right now, and I'm going to go on record with this people. Okay?
I want him to win, too, actually.
Oh, you don't think Bruce Dern? I thought you were going to say Bruce Dern.
Bruce Dern has been lobbying From the South.
Really?
He's been making his way around.
He's at every theater. No, he hasn't won one yet.
Let me say this.
Then he might.
Bruce, one of the things about the Oscars, you have to invest time before and after the announcements.
It's like running for president.
It is. Yeah. And he's done an exceptional job. But DiCaprio has done it a phenomenal job without doing it.
Well,
his name is everywhere.
He's very pretty.
He's already played.
And the people love him. He's at a spot right now where whether he likes it or not, he's the people's champion. It's just how it is. I believe the way the Oscars is set up, I think that if they reward 12 Years a Slave, then they don't have to reward the actor. You know what I mean? So it's like, I don't think Christian Bale, I thought great performance. I do believe Matthew McConaughey, he knocked it out of the park. But I think that Dallas Buyers Club will get the supporting actor, and we'll get to that in a second. So Leonardo DiCaprio wins for Best Actor, gets his first Oscar, goes on to receive glory from around the world,
I'd like it too.
But like, he's got decades and decades to win more Oscars, and he will. Yeah. Oh, sorry, man. got the decades, man.
He'll win more even if he doesn't win. Clips I played alone, could you or could you not feel it?
Well, I saw the film. I definitely felt it. It's very intense.
Yeah. That's what's happening, people. Let's move right along. All right. So then we have coming up.
Best actress in a leading role.
Go ahead and why don't you say those, Miriam?
Why don't you listen?
These are names that you can say.
No, I'm not saying it for that. I was just giving you a part because
it's not
you sound
for Amanda
like,
saying.
Yeah. No.
That's not what you meant? Oh,
no, I'm not meaning that. I just thought Miriam might want to say
it. Why does it become all like... sexual.
Well, I was trying to speak for him, but apparently that wasn't.
No, I was saying it because Miriam's warmed up now and she's smiling again. She's distressed.
She's in a good mood.
Is off. Okay, best actress in a leading role. Let's get to it. Amy Adams for American Hustle. Mm. Kate Blanchett for Blue Jasmine. Mm. Sandra Bullock for Gravity. Mm. Dame Judi Dench for Philomena.
Yeah.
And Meryl Streep, the one and only, the great Meryl Streep for Osage August.
Osage County.
Is that how it's said?
Brandon, your pick.
Meryl Streep. Forever. Fucking forever. I love that movie.
Straight up. There's no Osage. Two about it. No two way about it. It will go.
I want her to win, and I think she'll win. Well, have you seen Osage County? It's basically like each... I think they said this in Bollywood on the Adam Carolla podcast, but it's basically like each actor and actress in the movie gets their own little like soliloquy and problem to deal with, and they all do it, and they're all brilliant at it, and like every actor shines in that movie, and Meryl Streep is no exception. She's basically like the centerpiece for it, and it's brilliant.
Oh,
yeah.
Okay.
Miriam Tazi, what are your picks or pick?
I mean, I've seen only two of the movies actually from that. I think Kate Blanchett might get it. I don't know with the whole controversy with Woody Allen. I don't know, but I think she did a really good job. I think her acting skills.
I didn't know she was involved in that.
Yeah, I didn't know.
Oh, either. Because it's a Woody Allen movie.
Just
because
it's his movie.
I see.
I thought
like Woody Allen's touching everybody.
No.
Or something. Even Kate Blanchett.
No. Maybe that came out wrong.
Jeez. Miriam.
All right, so
clear.
Miriam's going with Kate Blanchett.
I think, yeah,
she says she's thinking she might.
I like that.
I'm gonna say without a shadow of
Meryl
a doubt.
Streep, she always wins.
why don't you let the man talk?
Without a shadow of a doubt, people. Kate Blanchett wins for Blue Jasmine.
Oh.
No doubt in my mind she takes
it. I'm
going
to throw this out there, and I know it's a bit sacrilege. I haven't seen this. I see every Woody Allen movie that comes out. I have not seen this one yet.
She killed. She murdered in this
What's
movie.
What's this one about?
One of the best actresses
What's it even
ever?
About?
It is about I can't say she's a...
I guess I can say she's
a socialite.
Yeah.
In Manhattan, and her husband is a bigwig.
She was, anyway.
Yeah, yeah, and they go through a divorce. And she's in a down and out. She hits the skids. He invested money, what's the guy's name? He invested all the billions of dollars and got locked up.
Abramoff?
Yes.
Or whatever?
Yeah.
Madoff?
So, yes.
Madoff?
Exactamundo.
I have no idea.
So, much like that, it parallels that story, and this is what happens to the wife. So where they had billions of dollars, and they had penthouses and vacations and boats, yachts, the whole nine. She was married to Alec Baldwin, who was phenomenal in that in Blue Jasmine. Everyone was. Dice Clay was in it. He was amazing.
Oh, yeah.
A couple other guys were in there. Remember, there was like a bunch of well-acted film, but... who shines the most out of that? Cate Blanchett. Her. She starts to break down in this movie like no one's ever in a film. I mean, you could see it in her eyes, in her eyeballs, the stress in her face. Everything about the film is you could see
she's
the
got
emotional
chops.
Strength.
She got the chops.
Oh, yeah. And she always has. She's phenomenal.
She just doesn't get enough. You know, stuff like this, really.
This right here, man. Yeah. This right here, it puts her over the top. She's the as we say, creme de la creme. So that's what's up.
Cool.
That's who I'm going with, Cate Blanchett, hands down. Actor in a supporting role, we have Bacard Abdi. Is that how you pronounce it? Say it. Please, he's laughing at me. You hear this shit, people?
I don't know if I'm going to say it right either, but I would say Barhad.
Barhad. So that's right. So
Barhad.
So maybe not Barkhard, as I said it. Say it one more time, Miriam.
Barhad Abdi.
You're not fluent in Somali?
Right. The right way to say it?
Barhad.
Not the wrong way, like Barkhard. Very American of me. So my apologies, but he's up for Captain Phillips. And as we know, he was the limousine driver turned actor. Now up for an Oscar.
Do you think he'll be at the Oscars? You think
he'll
be
there?
He'll be there.
Okay. Yeah, man. He's relish in this, brother. Yeah. Relish. This
the
is your moment.
I've seen, he loves.
Why this is your moment.
I don't know. Yeah, I don't know where he lives, actually.
No, he's been at other awards.
He's shining.
Oh, he has?
Yeah,
he's shining.
At other award shows.
Shining, Brandon. Shining.
I saw like one public interview, so I didn't know he was going around.
No.
We have Jonah Hill for The Wolf of Wall Street, Bradley Cooper, American Hustle, Jared Leto. Is it Leto or Leto?
Leto.
Jared Leto for Dallas Buyers Club and Michael, Fassbender,
mm-hmm.
For 12 Years a Slave. Who do you got? Miriam Tazi.
See, I would say Jared in this too because he's really good. But I think you're right. If Jared gets this, then Matthew might not get Best Actor. But he was really good. So I would say Jared. Jared Leto.
Brandon Alter.
I'm split because I loved Fassbender and I also... loved, what's his name? I can't even remember how to pronounce it.
Who, him? Who?
Oh, no, yeah. Barkhad. I liked him a lot, actually. Yeah.
And your final answer?
Bradley Cooper. I'm going to say that now. There, I jumped way over there. Bradley Cooper will win. He played a pretty good, like...
Brandon's so wrong. Yeah,
Jewish dude from the 70s or whatever he was doing.
All right, actor in supporting role, Malcolm Riddle picks... Jared Leto, hands down, he wins.
Okay.
Hands down, just the Oscars.
He was good.
It
was amazing.
It's a balanced formula that they use, and yes, I believe that McConaughey won't, and this will be the reward for that. So Jared was, he'd been away from film for X amount of years, mm-hmm. I think 10 years or something crazy, and now he's back with a vengeance. So moving on to actress in the supporting role. So we have... Sally Hawkins for Blue Jasmine. Julia Roberts for August, Osage County. Jennifer Lawrence. I sound like a professional. Jennifer Lawrence for American Hustle.
Mm-hmm.
June Squibb for Nebraska. And...
Lupita.
Lupita
Nyong.
Nyong for 12 Years a Slave, whom I think is absolutely a gorgeous woman.
She has some unbelievable like lines of deliver, like almost like these. She was the woman who was like talking about washing her hands with the soap and everything. Oh my God, that was moving shit right there. I teared up.
I think Lupita's gonna win.
Brandon,
she better win.
Well, since Miriam took it, Miriam Tazi,
take it away, Miriam.
So that's your final answer,
yep,
Lupita.
Done.
Brandon Alter,
I'm torn because Lupita emotionally. Brilliant, but like June Squibb, that's the one who played the mom, like married to Bruce Dern in the movie Nebraska, right?
Yeah. Wasn't she good?
When she unloaded in one scene, like she took the whole movie away. She like owned that movie.
Yeah.
And I kind of want her to win just because she blew me away. I didn't think she'd be as good as she was. It's funny. It's one of those like side roles that a female actress, you know, she gets and like you just don't expect anything from it and it's amazing. Yeah. Mm.
All right. So, yeah, that's supporting. So let's move down. We have next up, let's do directing and picture. How's that?
Yeah.
So directing, we have American Hustle. David O. Russell for American Hustle, should I say. Alphonse Cuarón for Gravity. Alexander Payne for Nebraska.
Mm-hmm.
Steve McQueen for 12 Years a Slave.
Different Steve McQueen.
Yes.
Yeah. Mm.
And Martin Scorsese.
More tan than the original Steve McQueen.
And Martin Scorsese for The Wolf of Wall Street. Brandon Alter, how say you?
Oof. I don't know. I don't think David O. Russell is an amazing director. He doesn't deserve it for American Hustle. It's not like his masterpiece directing wise. He's done better stuff. I mean, I guess that shouldn't be how you decide if he gets it or not, but I don't think it just wasn't like what he did didn't amount to it being a great movie. I kind of like Alexander Payne. I've liked everything he's done. He hasn't done a lot, but I even liked Nebraska a lot, and I thought it was very well directed. So I would say that. That's where I would go.
Maryam Tazi.
I'm debating between, because Martin Scorsese for me is one of the best of all time, so I think he's always going to be in the running. But I'm debating between him and Alfonso, actually.
And you know, you're right. Alfonso could pull that off. What's your final pick?
I might actually go Alfonso.
Where's the category for best directress?
So, you know what I mean? Maryam Tazi is going with Alfonso.
Change it up because of, yeah.
That's what you're going with. Okay, that's your final answer. That's recorded and it's on tape.
Set in stone.
So, set in stone.
Directing for me. Where is picture at? I don't see it on here. Best.
It's
picture.
Like the top, at least of this list I saw.
Okay, best picture. Blah, 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 blah.
You got 10 to go through.
I do a process of elimination, so.
I think there's supposed to be 10 of them.
I think they're doing just 9.
Director, I'm going to go.
Oh.
I'm going to go with Steve McQueen for 12 Years a Slave.
Oh,
that's right. My final answer. I believe Gravity will get a lot of visual effects and stuff.
He's
like
been
that.
Lobbying a lot, honestly. It seems like for Best Director, I've seen him like on like
and it could
the
happen.
Today Show a lot.
It
and,
definitely know. Could happen. It could happen, and then they could go with Best Picture, 12 Years a Slave.
It could do
that's,
a sweep.
That's
it could
where
sweep
it could
it, yeah.
go. It could go Lupita Gravity could win. For Best Director, and 12 Years a Slave, Best Picture.
Are you writing this?
That's
down?
What I'm going to go. I'm going to go with that too. I'm going to go out on a limb. So my risks,
ooh.
The ones that I'm going to go with this year, Leonardo DiCaprio for Best Actor, which people don't think he'll get. Gravity for Best Director, Alfonso, and then Best Picture will go to 12 Years a Slave, which we'll go through that right now. I seem to have jumped.
Yeah, you sort of jumped over that one.
Sorry, guys. Let's get back to it. Let's get back on track. Best Picture now. We've got all that recorded.
Yeah.
We have Best Picture. We have American Hustle. I'm not going to go through all the producers.
They list us on there.
Yeah, yeah.
Not on mine.
Yeah, we just
to the point.
American Hustle, Captain Phillips, Dallas Buyers Club, Gravity, Her, Nebraska, Philomena, 12 Years a Slave, and The Wolf of Wall Street. Brandon Alter.
Well, I haven't seen Philomena. That's the Steve Coogan movie. And I like to see it, but I have not seen that one. I think, I kind of want to go with Her.
Okay.
I really dug that movie, and it doesn't really seem like it's up for a lot of other awards. Although it makes me sad, because Captain Phillips, I don't think is going to win anything.
Wrong! All right, go ahead.
I don't think Captain Phillips is going to win anything. That was my point, and it's sad because that was a good movie.
No, it wasn't.
You didn't like it?
It was a good movie. It wasn't
right.
a great movie.
Right, and I guess it doesn't deserve to win anything.
There were
but,
great
yeah.
performances within a satisfactory movie. It dragged on a bit, but you're entitled
wrong.
To your opinion on this show.
My wrong right. opinion.
So, so you're going with which one? Her?
Yeah, I was going to say Her.
You're really, Her. It's great. Good,
Joaquin
great,
Phoenix really
great
acted the hell out of that mustache.
You're right.
Great he movie. Almost didn't remember he had a hair lip. I remember that.
Mariam Tazi. American Hustle, Captain Phillips.
No, I have the list in front of me. I think 12 Years a Slave is going to win.
Yeah, you're probably right.
Don't feel so bad.
No, not in a bad way.
No, it's not in a bad way. It's just like, you know, you want some diversity in the winners.
No, yeah, I think it's going to be that, which is fine. I mean, it's tough.
Well, you haven't seen 12 Years a Slave.
I just know politically, I think it's going to
be. I think you're making the right guess.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And as everyone, the listeners already know, I picked 12 Years a Slave to win. Because it is a phenomenal film, and if you haven't seen it, definitely see it, witness it, and embrace it.
It's tough to watch, you know?
It is.
Yeah. It was tougher than Fruitvale Station.
It's also tough to live.
It was tough to live? I wouldn't know.
So, man.
My people were always free and happy. You know? I wouldn't know. I wouldn't know anything about a struggle.
Pressed a button there.
I'm just saying. You know, in general.
Nobody thinks that, you know, my people have horns on the back of their necks or anything like that.
I'm sensitive to your people as well, Brandon.
Let's not make this about me, all right? Just keep it about yourself.
That's right. That's right. All right. So that's what we have for our Oscar lineup. I guess we will see people, and we'll do. We may even do an Oscar recap next week. So, yeah, may the best persons win. Right?
Persons.
They don't even say win. The Oscar goes to. Right?
Yeah, they don't. It's not. You're not winners or losers. Mm-hmm. Yeah, just grateful to be nominated.
So that's what's up. Okay, so moving right along. Next up on my agenda today, I wanted to talk about hip hop just a little bit, just briefly to go into hip hop and the state of hip hop, the art of hip hop. Mm-hmm. I know we're going to go into. Mariam Tazi doesn't even know this.
No.
But we're going to do a segment probably on next episode.
No.
We're going to highlight a hip hop artist from France.
Ooh.
Whose name is?
Look at that. Stromae.
Yep.
Oh, and well, he's Belgian, actually. I think. Yeah, not French.
I got podcast itis.
How do I know this? You just brought this up.
French
I'm a
French and Rwandese.
Hey, guys,
actually.
Be sensitive. I got a lot of pressure. And we'll talk about this in the podcast.
Oh, come
in the beginning.
Man, let's not do this.
A lot of stress.
Let's not do it right now.
Good God. Podcast. So, give me a rundown on this guy, really quick.
Well, I don't want to give it all away.
No,
quick bio. He kind of started in hip hop. He's pretty young.
What's his name?
Stromae. So it's Maestro in Verlan, which I don't know how to.
You might have heard the song that Kanye stole from him.
Oh, Alors on danse. Yeah, he did.
Are you that's the song. Yeah.
We'll play some song. Yeah, I don't really like that version.
Yeah, I like the original. Yeah.
Of course, you get to like the original. There's an interview about him actually talking about that. But he likes it.
He put it on his album, so he must like it. I just think I don't like it.
Out with a new album, and it's really good. He's just starting to get out into the American.
What is that Papa song he has about Papa growing up with no dad? Oh, my God. That video is so depressing, but it's so good.
So we'll get into that.
That's good talk about it.
On the next podcast, and you're invited to come back as well, Brandon.
I'm not an expert like Mary.
No. I'm intrigued by hip hop and its influences and just the new state of hip hop and where it's going. And I see it all over the place. The reason why I bring up hip hop is because I've been thinking about hip hop in, where I came from in Michigan. And recently there's a hip hop artist named D-Fro. D-Fro, his real name is Dustin Frokla. I believe that's how you pronounce his last name. I'm sure I massacred it. F-R-O-L-K-A. Don't know why I feel a connection to this person. He's recently deceased. He was murdered. And
I think I remember reading about that.
And I knew of him through a friend that I used to hang out with in my b-boying days. And somehow I don't know why it's kind of strange when you feel a connection with someone that you don't even know. It's the same feeling I had I continue to have with like Cassius Morris. One of the Cassius, as you guys know, you've heard me talk about him on the podcast. He's a podcaster out of Halifax, representing Canada, and he's been an influence on me, and I consider him a friend. And a friend of the show as well, and he'll be back on. But it's also that connection, because Cassius and I connected through social media. And when you connect with someone, it's like we were talking earlier about being able to feel the emotion through a text or being able to feel the emotion through a post or something, like a picture.
Yeah.
In this case, also within music, him being from the same area that I grew up in, that I pretty much made my bones in Michigan, I was intrigued by his sound and heartbroken by his death. He was recently killed, murdered by a group of teens, robbed him. And it's sad. It's a sad state that we've gotten so vicious towards one another, where you can extinguish a bright light such as D-Fro, such as, you know, Dustin. It's really sad. What made me want to bring this up is a lot of things we've talked about the podcast on, just the interpretation of the media, the interpretation of other people, how people see MCs, rappers, just people in general. When they see you online, if you got gold on, if you wear your hat a certain way, if you do something, you don't know it, but you're a target in some way. And you have to protect yourself. And it goes back to what I was talking about earlier in the podcast about protecting yourself. It doesn't matter if it's through finances, through your life, at work, anywhere you go, in your relationships. You have to be aware of what's going on, or it could go down. And you know, he was a college student at Michigan State University, right? 19 years old, talented. I'm going to play some of his tracks now. It's Michigan has a different style. Like, a lot of the stuff that he would rap about, when I listened to his lyrics, the stuff that I was thinking when I was 19. Like, where am I going to get? How do I get through the day? I kind of think about this shit now. How do you get through, you know, keeping a job, holding a job? Where are you going to get money from? How are you going to come up? How are you going to create? What? It's not a lot of talk about, you know, money, hoes, and clothes and stuff like that.
Well,
so
Eminem, maybe, but that's
not. Yeah, yeah. Well,
it's a Michigan rapper.
But when you think 19, though, when you think 19, you think about the possibilities of what he would have become. You know what I mean?
Oh, God, yeah.
College student, going to one of the best schools in the country. Definitely very creative and just on a path to just exploring life.
Yeah.
One of the things that pisses me off about this case is the fact that as soon as it happened, the media jumped on drugs. A conversation he had on his Twitter account talking about wanting to do DMT and explore psychedelics.
It's not really a gang-related drug, though, you know?
No.
DMT is like that god, the god drug.
That's right. Mm-hmm. What does DMT stand? What's the full name?
It's
of
a
it?
Complicated, like, chemical. Yeah.
Dimethyltryptamine or something.
Yeah.
DMT is easier to say, people, so you get what I'm saying. It's a psychedelic. It is known as the God drug.
It's supposed to make you think you've seen God.
So yeah. D-Fro, what he did, what Dustin did was he posted something. He said he never did DMT before, but tonight was going to change that. It was like one of his last tweets, right? Which is fine. You know, sometimes I throw breadcrumbs out there on Twitter, on Facebook, and stuff like that. Just for the hell of it. Who knows? But I don't think that certain things should be reported until all the facts are laid out.
Especially because reporters taking stuff from social media.
Yeah.
Yes, and the point is, this is what happened. These were the facts, okay? He was found on a major highway, I-69, okay, in Michigan. It's like being found on 66 with no car, in the cold, okay? It doesn't make sense. These are the things that you should be connecting the dots. Anyone that knows, if someone found me on I-60 or 495, right, here in the Washington, D.C. metropolitan area.
The Beltway, yeah.
Right, gasping, trying to gasp for air, my last dying breaths. You wouldn't think to be looking at something on social media. I'd be like, who was he with? Why was he with this person? You know what I mean? Mm. Maybe I'm being hard on the media or whatever.
No. You're not being. It's incredibly fucking lazy reporting, because all they do is a Google search nowadays. It's insane.
It is.
They don't go to anybody's door or anything. They maybe make a call and then just report what they found on fucking Twitter or Facebook.
It is. And here, let me see. I'm
You notice that with a lot of those killers recently, or murders recently, like,
the first thing they do is go to their Facebook page.
Yeah, and they're like, true. Well, this kid wasn't that innocent. Look at all this shit he was doing. Like, well, I don't. He's
right
now
at Express.
Oops. I'll pull it up. But yeah, you're right. I hate commercials, man. Everything has a commercial.
Everything now.
Well, if you're going to keep it free and open, I understand. I get it. Yeah. It was nicer when it was free and now, and you get it now. But, you know.
A message left on a Twitter account could shed some light on the mysterious death of a Michigan State University student. Bath Township police say that 19-year-old Dustin Frolka of Owosso was found lying on I-69 near East Lansing on Saturday night. He was rushed to Sparrow Hospital in Lansing, where he was pronounced dead. Well, just recently, we've learned that hours before he was found, he had tweeted, quote, "I've never done DMT, and that is about to change." DMT is a psychedelic drug similar to acid or shrooms that causes even more powerful and potentially dangerous hallucinations. Police are still investigating the cause of Frolka's death. If you have any information, you're asked to call Bath Township Police right away.
So, again, you know, that's like hearsay.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Yeah, yeah.
There's no expert in drug addiction or anything on there. It's just basically this guy saying, this is what it looks like.
And automatically to point it to drugs, you know what I mean? Or it could be any drug. In this case, DMT was tweeted out. But at the same time, what happened to the days of, you know, let's wait to the facts. You know what I mean? Let the police do their policing.
Or like the Trayvon Martin shit when they talked about him smoking weed. I'm like, that doesn't make him more dangerous. That makes him less dangerous in my mind.
So here we go.
Yeah, it makes no sense.
They're painting a picture that they want the American public to believe. You know what I mean? And it's bad, man. You know, because at the end of the day, a child, young man is dead. A talented young man is dead. And the family's left with, you know, heartbreaking questions. You know what I mean? And you know, what makes it sad is you know, there's been updates on it. Let's see. You'll have to indulge me because I am passionate and I feel a connection to this. Don't ask me why. I mean, but it's it's just not a pretty story of what goes on, you know, throughout this country.
Where's the justice?
Have we become that? I mean, killing's been going on since the beginning of time, but I mean, where's the compassion? Where's the love? You know what I mean? I see more and more on college campuses.
It depends
campuses.
Where you live when you get the love, you know?
Yeah. Well,
depends what you look
in
like.
In general, but
love.
I mean, how many times have you seen college campuses where people, or this isn't on the campus, but just everyone's a target. You know what I mean? It's just, it's a strange state of the world. That we're in.
Continuing coverage tonight on the death of a Michigan State student and a Wausau native. Three people have now been charged in the 19-year-old's death, and we're now hearing from his family for the very first time. TV5's Krista Moore joins us live from Genesee County with their story. Krista.
Until now, we didn't know much about Dustin Frolka, but tonight I spoke with his sister in her first on-camera interview. She thinks a lot of people have the wrong idea of her brother and wants people to know a little about the Dustin she knew.
He's a very giving, loving, caring person. So there are many questions about this entire scenario.
Pamela Hinska says she and her family were devastated to learn 19-year-old Dustin Frolka, her little brother, died shortly after a stranger found him lying on the side of I-69, the victim of possible homicide.
Our understanding is that he was beat up and robbed and then dropped out of a moving vehicle. I don't know too many more details. I don't think I want to know too many more details of the last moments. I want to make sure that he's not remembered as that.
She remembers her brother as a good student, a marketing major at MSU with a 3.5 GPA. She says Dustin, also known as D-Fro, was a talented singer and rapper. He met a lot of people as he traveled around Michigan performing. She says Dustin was very friendly, and that may have led to trouble.
That's what we're thinking may have happened, is just that his niceness was then taken advantage of and got him into the situation.
Three teens are now facing murder charges in connection with Frolka's death. His sister says all they can do now is pray for justice.
Hopefully bring some peace to all of us in this, because it is so horrific.
Yeah, so, I mean, that's a tough pill to swallow, okay? 3.5 grade point average. Life ahead of himself. You know what I mean? Nice. But that's the other picture that's being painted. Look at the first one. It's DMT. He's out there. You know what I mean? It's weird the way society and the media kind of has the ability to you know, paint a picture of someone and, you know, not be respectful.
Taint someone.
Yeah, and the life is snuffed out in a blink of an eye. I mean, it's done. It's over. I mean, I don't know. I don't like it. I don't like the way the story is unfolded. Don't ask me why I feel connected to it. I seem to have...
at least the police seem to have found who they think did it.
Yeah, they have three people, you know, in custody. And, you know, I was going back and I was listening to some of his stuff. I'll pull up. He's got a Facebook profile and what is this, SoundCloud?
SoundCloud is where a lot of sort of independent artists put up their stuff.
I like his stuff. And I think he would have definitely evolved. He makes his own beats. He works with a couple people. He worked with my boy Al. What was Al's name? Yeah, let me pull it up so I don't mess up Al's name. Miriam can pronounce.
Uh-oh. What are these names you're coming up with?
I don't know. I just read them.
Only Miriam can pronounce these.
Anyway, Al used to MC with us back in the day, and I saw something he posted, and another buddy of mine, Matt, out of Michigan. They kind of keep me up to date with stuff that's going on. But it just bothers me, man. And sometimes I just want to give a shout out and say, you know, it's not all done in vain. Even though you're not here on Earth, there are people that they respect what you did while you were here on Earth. All right. So had some audio problems, but we're back.
I feel like the ghost of Defro is with us.
He is with us. Mm. Let's take a quick look. Let's look at a couple tracks.
Look?
Well, let's listen. You're right, Miriam Tazi. Let's listen to a couple of his tracks, mm-hmm. Defro, and show you how he put it down. So let's... hit.
Come on, yeah. Yo, I wanna thank you guys for being a piece of the puzzle. This one's for you. Addicted to hot shit, call me a pyromaniac. Leading the pack, I got it mapped like an almanac. A scallywag that will leave you in a body bag. Bone saw, cutting into marrow, Mary not a fag. But Peter talking about the anal, cause I'm so clean with the beats. All the freaks want the day olds. But they know these donuts go nuts. Still a program, and I'm nice with the cold cuts. Froze like ice with a mic device. I've been committed for a minute now, no need to think twice. I've been fly ever since the first inauguration. So cryptic when I ripped it up, swag and imagination. That's why the flow is so mysterious. All the rappers saying that I'm whack, take the shit too serious. I break down compounds to single elements. Magnesium teasing them in a world so irrelevant. I spit soliloquy, similes, and the rest of that. Metaphorically speaking, I'm reaching the best in rap. So skedaddle if you're rattling off, battling soft. I should take your
this
rap.
This is tight, huh?
I like his vocabulary. That's what I like.
He brings it. I mean... just thinking about the development, though, when you're that young and that fresh.
Yeah, he's a smart dude. It's really fucking even more depressing now.
Yeah.
But you still need to find a way to celebrate it. You know what I mean? Put it out there, play it, let people know.
Well, that he was able to lay this down is good. My name is Defro, a trooper with the boom, smoking a hooter and hookah token. I'm hoping to do ya. So we should roll up, show me what you're working with. Your body naked and I'm patient when I'm working it. I love Kylie, mind me.
I just want to keep listening to it.
Yeah, it's good.
You know? It's got some meat to it, no? Huh?
Yeah, it's good.
It's pretty well produced for a 19-year-old guy.
Let's do this one. Let's see.
And I bob and weave to the rhythm of my own beat. This own ghost in this old shit's no heat. It's like half of y'all here don't know me. Cold shoulder chip off the block of his own street. Kick rocks, outline thoughts, yeah, sick plots. Pissed off, bet through hip hop.
Is that how they dance in Michigan?
You remind me of the dude in Everyday Stealth Sketch who dances.
Just check it out. I wanna
fly far from this. Doesn't sound like him. He changed his voice up in this one.
No, I think it's someone else. I think he's
somebody else on his track. Struggling to pay bills, can't put gas in my tank. But running ain't a fix. They claim that I'm a kid. Click wings, no prospects. So hit and miss. I can never get my beat to silence and sit shit. It's gotten me nowhere but trouble all on this trip. But I say break shit, smash it. Seems everyone's plastic. Slick to switch up and stab your back. Quick shit. But nothing can bring me down, man. Listen to the drums pounding. We'll leave you dumbfounded. Dazed, amazed, you'll be so astounded. Listen to the drums pounding. Listen to the drums pounding. We'll leave you dumbfounded. Dazed, amazed, you'll be so astounded.
You'll be astounded when we come around, it's bound to happen. crunch time, punchline, shatter hourglasses. Hitting masses with the force of power on its axis. Spinning globes, spitting flows, planning it like a practice. Aiming it like a gat is, targeted at the fact it's 2013 and these dreams equate above the average. But they still ignore us like your mama nagging. Quit the bullshit and get to work to make it happen. It is pertinent for action, we want more than satisfaction. Sad is true that just a fraction of them do not change their passion. So forever we ride through the endeavors, I never will lie.
I like your style, man.
Yeah, I mean, this is much better than the shit that you hear coming out of, like, Atlanta and, like, New Orleans nowadays.
Well, I mean, I don't know who's representing them, so that's Brandon Alter saying that, people.
Hey, I'm a hater.
But it's not Malcolm Riddle, just for the record. But no, I know saying, what you're saying.
Like, there's a different quality to the shit, like, up north versus south, you know? It's different.
Yeah. I just, catchy. I like what he says, and, you know, where he's going, where his state of mind, you know, was when he's laying down tracks.
Sad.
Yeah.
I like this one, too.
Does he do his beats, you think? He doesn't?
Well, he says on here who... This one's produced by him. This is called Am I State of Mind.
I was born in a hospital a little too late. Came out same year, Nas dropped his first tape. In my state of mind, but I stayed in mind. In my Michigan with no innocence in the eye. So innocence, I was blind. I couldn't see the light. Illuminated by a mic, I had to be the light. Cause music is a religion up in the mitten. The writtens get hot as oxygen and friction. Honestly, extinguish competition. Distinguish vision, optic lenses. Turn all my friends to enemies within my honest living. Degrading hate and turn to inspiration faithfully.
Yeah, I mean, you get the idea, right?
A lot of
right?
Michigan references in that song.
Well, that's the point. I mean, Michigan, Michigan's everywhere.
Up,
if Michigan
up
is
in the mitten. I like that.
Yeah, it speaks for itself. It's substance. It's got meat. You know what I mean? Brother was bringing it, man, and they got him, you know?
Yeah.
Let's see. There's another one I like called Z Diesel. Let's see if I can find that. I'm just going to go through, man. That's just what I'm doing. I'm going to dedicate this
Sour Diesel.
This podcast to my man. Let's find her. There it is. Z Diesel, The Grind. Featuring Defo, right. Produced by GT.
Right? Hate these rap dudes with the sneakers and tattoos. Let the speaker attack you and my people subtract you. From my musical equation, introduce you to the pavement. And when mom requests a payment, pretend I can't afford to pay it. Girlfriend might have been a whore, just say it. I don't gotta lie, been to court, make statements. I just wanna light up on the porch, stack paper. Patient, waiting for the fame train station. Blaze it. Music first, manifest my future with the Kama Sutra on the microphone.
Ripping it.
Any motherfucker wanna trick or treat,
and more bounce
tweet
to it.
When they like a song. Keep it low-key, no karaoke, no open
mic. He's ripping it.
Talent show. Where did all of your talent go? Where did all of that talent go? Yeah, we getting wasted on the work day. Later on, we getting wasted at the workplace. I'm sipping, I'm smoking, I'm rolling. My bank account is swollen.
I like that.
I'm falling, won't exhaust it. Bouncy. I never knew the cost that comes with this good living. But made up my decision to get it, to get it. Get my team is out this Friday. Yeah, we'll never quit despite all of the deficits. Fuck all of the pessimists. I'm penciling the lesson in. Despite all of the deficits, fuck all of the pessimists. I'm penciling the lesson in.
I like that.
It's good.
Yeah.
Doesn't matter about the beat, like he has a lot of energy in every song.
Yeah. He has a good tone to his voice too.
I mean, with the right guidance, right production, just growth in that field, the possibilities would have been endless. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Probably. Do you have a label at all, or he's just doing it on
his own? I know very little. Very, 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 very little. Just saw a couple posts on Facebook. A couple key people kept me informed on what's what, and you know, I did a little research, and here we are. So I found some of the music that he just played. So it was important to me, and I appreciate you guys listening, because you know, it's hard to, it's like you said, from different, when you hear different music, it kind of throws you off, like the Earl Sweatshirt. Is that his name?
Earl Sweatshirt, you're talking about.
It sounds different, but I've listened to it, gone back and listened to different things, and given different musicians a chance, because we get so programmed to listening to the norm, where everything sounds the same. So when I do hear something like that, it's refreshing. But when I hear somebody, a young cat in the streets, and not so much in the streets, but out there trying to make a difference, trying to, you know, get an education, trying to, you know, sharpen his craft, and they're saying something. Like, it's stuff that I can relate to at my age, and it's like, I take age out of the equation. He's talking the talk.
He's talking about life, and yeah, everybody lives life. It's not,
doesn't matter if you're from
older,
Michigan,
yeah,
doesn't matter where you're from, but he was laying it down. So much respect out to him, and he'll be missed. And, you know, if there's anything we can do on this program to promote the music and the art that he left behind, we will do so. So rest in peace, my brother. And also another note on hip hop, Jimmy Fallon. Have you guys been watching Jimmy Fallon?
Dude is good.
Is he not sharp?
He's been doing the hip hop and the hip hop dance history. Yeah, he did both of them. Yeah.
And I'm glad you brought that up, Brandon, because that's something I find.
I like the Humpty dance that he did. That was good.
That's something that I like a lot, is the fact that he's putting hip hop on a national level on television.
Like, seriously, I can't believe like that mass audience can relate to that stuff, but I can relate and I love it.
It's beautiful, man. For me, I'm not kidding. I told you guys on the podcast before, and I've talked to you about it, Miriam. I would have arguments with adults back in 85 and 86, and I would cry because they would say at that time they were saying rap was a fad. So what we were doing, all the energy, the mixers, the table, turntable, setting it up, hip hop, rap shows in the park and in people's basements. They're like, you're just wasting your. They would just tell us we're wasting our time. Like we'd be in Flint, Michigan. We would care. Like we didn't have the luxury of a laptop or an iPod or iPad with the music. I would have to carry four crates of records, the mixer, the turntables, the boombox. You know what I mean? The whole look. My Kango hat to match. You know what I mean?
I can't imagine how hard it is, like, you know, want like a genre of music that's basically only a decade old to exist. And like,
it was exhausting. Yeah. It was literally exhausting to carry that stuff, but also to be every person was a pioneer at that time because everyone was struggling to commit to this lifestyle. It was a beautiful thing. It was a beautiful time, and it is a beautiful time now. When I see Jimmy Fallon, NBC, the number one network.
Well, I guarantee you, he grew up with that shit.
The number one show. You know, people are so quick to point out, oh, white hip hop, white rappers, black rappers, Asian rappers. No. These are MCs. This is hip hop.
Race doesn't matter in that way.
This is hip hop. And when he's up there with Justin, you've heard me be critical on JT, right?
I haven't heard that. What? You don't like him?
I apologize. Okay. I apologize for anything that I've ever said about Justin.
Apologize to him directly?
I would. Yeah. Well, I was hating. You know what I mean? I was
What'd
hating.
You say? Give me a taste.
I was hating.
Give me a taste of that.
I just thought he shouldn't be where he's at. And it doesn't matter.
I'm gasping right now.
The point I'm trying to make. The point I'm trying to make is, I overstepped my bounds. And on this podcast, I'm sure he'll never hear it. But it's important to me because he's embraced that the lifestyle that I love so much, that I hold so near and dear to my heart. And to see it on NBC, like last night I was watching Jimmy Fallon and just thinking about it and watching his movements, and they had the Roots up there and they were reenacting a scene from a look like a script. He does these little bits, but I'm like, this is hip hop.
Yeah.
This is hip hop.
Yeah.
The show is hip hop. There's no denying.
I think
no
they do from like The
There's
Bachelor
no...
or something, don't they?
Mm-hmm. What?
Well, like they have the Roots read like scripts from like super crappy dramas.
No, but the fact that it's the Roots.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? He could hire Denzel, or he could bring in some celebrity who does that.
But he's got Questlove.
Questlove. This is hip hop, man. This is hip hop. It's everywhere. It's been everywhere.
It's the culture.
But when you see it, The Tonight Show.
Yeah. Growing up, mainstream as that, it's pretty awesome. Yeah.
Growing up, for me, when I was growing up, The Tonight Show was like a treat, something we'd have to stay up and sneak to watch. Not that they were saying anything bad, but it was just late. There was four channels, you know what I mean? It wasn't that much entertainment. But now you got this. I mean, it's just, I showed my son the other day driving. I was like, you seen this? The History of Rap Part 5 with Jimmy Fallon and Justin Timberlake. And, you know, it's just, they take it, the children, I think, take it for granted because they can just Google it or YouTube or whatever. But for me, it's you know, you take something like this brother, D-Fro, he's out there, he's struggling, he paid the cost and for what he loved. And, you know, he what lives on is hip-hop. You know what I mean? Someone did. They took his life, so they killed hip hop. Mm. You know what I mean? But he will not be silenced because hip hop lives and breathes. It's eternal now. This is just my belief.
I mean, it's not just history. It's the future.
It's amazing. And so I'm going to make sure that I want to make sure that I take a step back and listen to myself a little bit more and try not to be so critical, because you know this is a new frontier we're on. You agree?
Yeah.
This is the frontier, and his possibilities are endless. We just gotta believe in ourselves, each other, and support ourselves. Right?
Yeah.
That's what's up. And this, we're going to close out with That One Time by D-Fro. Domino, motherfucker.
Yeah.